In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll read the Word of God for examination from the book of the prophet of Isaiah from 65. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, and it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. Amen. That was verse 55 of, or chapter 55 of Isaiah. This portion of God's Word speaks of the Word of the Lord and its significance. If God allows, let's look at this text another time. This text began by an admonishment. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Word of God, which in the letter to the Hebrews, the apostle visualizes livingly, very powerfully, living two-edged sword. The Word of God, the Gospel, is this one part of the entire Word of God. In these services, we have already been able to hear the gospel, which is the joyous message of Jesus Christ, and the core of this joyous message is the forgiveness of sins. Portion of the Word of God, the apostle has written that it is the power of God to each one who believes unto salvation. And so we experience that this gospel, this joyous message of the gospel and its power has been that power by the help of which we have been able to be preserved in faith. This gospel, which every child of God can possess for himself or herself and accept and contain it within their heart and believe it. The other side of God's word, the law, the duty of this is to awaken unbelieving children unbelieving people unto the knowledge of their sin and guide them to Jesus or to the kingdom of God to seek salvation for their soul. Now, at the beginning of this text, it is connected to this entirety of the Word of God, the law, as well as the gospel. We are instructed to seek the Lord while He is to be found, while He is near. We could think so, that this Word of God, this law, awakens man, unbelieving people, to the knowledge and the feeling of their sinfulness, and that they have sins on their conscience, and peace is lacking with God, peace with God. And also this living faith, which is a gift of God, is not there. And if this is able to happen, that such a person, that the law of the Word of God is able to awaken them to the knowledge of their sin and make them ask that what they must do. This kind of person, unbelieving person, who feels this in their innermost, it is said that God is speaking to him or her. And it is said that this person could just at this moment have the time of visitation, a time when they can experience and feel the call of God. And there's instruction is given here to this type of person that they would need to seek the Lord when they can still find, and to call for His help when He is near. Sometimes I have been in such a discussion where we had to deal with matters of faith. I have quite often been, but a certain case has come to mind which seems to fit with this text. This happened a long time ago during my years of study in our study group. A discussion was born about matters of faith for this reason, that at this same course, there were a few of us. We discussed with our fellow students, and we wanted to confess our faith and tell. And one of our friends who was discussing with us had a very positive reception to this and was of the same opinion as us. But then when we went more deeply into it and we spoke how a person becomes righteous, how a person reaches the destination to that glory of heaven, there has to be this living faith, which is a gift of God, as their own. That a person who is lacking this faith, he needs to find this faith as a gift of God. And so we understand as children of God that it means this, that God's kingdom would preach the gospel of the forgiveness of sins to this, that this sin of unbelief and all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. This study friend or student was not of the same opinion as us, and he, of course, agreed that repenting is a good matter, but he had this kind of a thought. He was young and feeling his strength, and he had his studies ahead of him and life ahead of him, that he would now at this time would wanted to repent. But he would repent then later, sometimes at a fitting time. Perhaps he thought when he was old, or when he was sick, or when life seemed difficult. But in this text, God's word, nevertheless, through this prophet Isaiah, give this kind of understanding. But we would think in this way, when God speaks to unbelieving people, according to the words of the Bible, that he has to be diligent and become humble himself to repent. He must listen to the awakening of the law of the Word of God, and humble himself to repent, to have remorse over his sin, and wants to turn his life in another direction. When a believing person from the kingdom of God preaches this message of joy, this of the gospel, this person receives as a gift the gift of living faith and the Holy Spirit as a teacher, and can start to walk the living way. But even though we say that some person has repented, and so we say in everyday life that we tell some joyous news that such and such a person has made repentance, but nevertheless we think that this repentance is not the work of man or the deed of man or from man, but it is always the grace work of God. It is always God's love being shown here. As we said here, it was a dangerous speech. My student friend had said that he would put his time of repentance ahead for a fitting time. It could be that God won't speak eternally to some person, but when God, through his word, speaks to man, that a person needs to be diligent and repent in humbleness. And here in this text of Isaiah is meant that seek ye the Lord when he is to be found, and call on him when he is near. Well, can the child of God who has helped someone become brought into faith, can a child of God call on the Lord for help? And of course we can. As children of God, we have had this great grace of God shown to us, that we have been able to believe and receive this great gift of faith. But when we journey with these two portions, and it often happens that the sin clings to us and slows our journey, and we can pray to the Heavenly Father and pray for this, that he would give us power to be preserved and protected in faith. And he would give this joyous message, through this joyous message of the gospel, would give us the power that we need on our journey. And so we can cry for help from the Lord and pray. And this is a grace benefit of God, that we can approach the Heavenly Father in prayer as children approach their dear Father. And we can pray that God would protect me in faith on this life, way of life, but especially this portion of the Bible in Isaiah, the letter book of Isaiah, seems fitting to this thought that when God speaks to his word, through his word to unbelievers, because this text continues, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. When we are taught by the Holy Spirit as children of God, we have learned to understand and notice and experience this, that when we have been able to use this power of the gospel, when we have been preached the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and blood, we can personally, each one of us, experience this truth, that the truth of this portion of God's word, where it says that God has much grace. As this old Bible says, that with him is a lot of forgiveness. As it says, and as it every day happens, that we in word, deed, and thoughts transgress against the will of God, we nevertheless do not need to think that this grace of God towards sinful man is limited. But many portions of God's word show this, that God's holy and righteous will is this, that every person would be saved. And as children of God, we can, through the message and the power of this joyous message of the forgiveness of sins in the gospel, and believing our sins forgiven and cleansing our conscience through this gospel, and we can use this and believe it. And in the grace of God, there is power, our strength. As children of God, we all have this desire of the Spirit to fight against the enticements of the enemy of the soul, to fight against the enticements and temptations of sin. But when and if we have fallen in this fight or battle, it is the grace work of God towards us that we nevertheless can believe. We can all possess this joyous message of the gospel and believe that our sins are forgiven when they are proclaimed to us with this through the gospel and God's kingdom. In this portion, in a very concrete way, it shows how the will of God is truly that all men would be saved, that his forgiveness is very abundant. We know this, that God hates sin, but God loves the sinful person. And this love of God becomes manifest in this, when he sacrificed his only son on behalf of mankind's sin. He suffered in death, to death on the cross, but had this victorious resurrection from the dead, and made it possible for us that even in this time that people live on this earth, that we can believe. We have permission to believe and the right to believe. Because of the atonement work of the Son of God, it was so complete and we can be in this in its security. And because of this merit work of Christ, this would not have happened. If Christ would not have been born into this earth, and if he would not have suffered and died and victoriously arose, our faith would be in vain. If Christ's resurrection did not happen, then we would not also have the possibility to believe. So with such a great gift is in question here when we speak of the gift of living faith. And this gift of living faith in God's kingdom, we want to preach and to offer this gift to those who do not have. And if someone is listening, some friend who is lacking this gift of God, if you are listening and if you have experienced that God is speaking to you through his word, and you might think that you have a very significant, unique time of visitation. Believe, dear friend, all your sins of unbelief forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, and begin to travel this way, whose destination is the glory of heaven. Our prayer is this, that this would be fulfilled as it speaks in this portion of God's word, that God's forgiveness and his grace word would be fulfilled in you, and God's great will, goodwill, that is this, that you would be able to experience this call and this love, and you can start traveling this way of life. And then as this text goes forward, through the prophet, it brings out thoughts of the almightiness of God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we pause around this message, a child of God in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, we can live in this security. As people, we are humans, we plan our lives and our duties and our studies. It's correct. And so we can do it and do it as well as possible. But a child of God has this kind of a more security that the Heavenly Father will bless and guide and protect. And for this reason, this is a secure thought that this, according to the text of Isaiah, how much higher is God's thoughts and intentions when you compare to that of which man has. As man or people, humans, we know this moment, what has happened, and we can look back and think from this moment on, but for the future, we do not know. But the Heavenly Father knows, but God knows. For this reason, it is a very secure thought that our life, our whole life, our life of faith, our temporal life, is under the powerful guidance of the hand of God. And when we possess this owner of this hand, God says that his thoughts are much higher than ours. Isn't it secure thought and a good thought that we trust the Heavenly Father's guidance and his care in all the situations in our lives? Truly, I have already said, and it's correct and needful, that each one of us plans our own life. You students, you go to school, and you do your own work and duties in the best way as possible. You still have a couple weeks of vacation, but then when school begins, then with a joyous mind, you go to do your work, as well as you students who are studying. You are planning your own life, that I will function in this way or that way. And it's correct. And we adults who are in this, are working or have become retired, we also plan our lives. But all, as children of God, there's always this thought that we want to connect our plans for the future with this, that if God wills, if God allows this to happen. And we want to be satisfied in this. If some thought or matter didn't go as we ourselves had planned and planned for ourselves, something didn't go that way, but it went another way. It could be that this situation may seem disappointing and painful, and it may make us even angry or bitter, but we could think that what intent reason is this, that I didn't get this place of study, that why didn't I get this workplace of employment, that why didn't our vacation succeed when this or this has happened. And we do, we are disappointed, and we're not, that this isn't necessarily wrong, but when this disappointment disappears and life goes forward, then we afterwards and later understand how wise the Heavenly Father's guidance was in this situation. The portion of a human being isn't always so easy here on the journey in the wilderness. There is a lot of, even some bickering, and those people that complained against the leader and against God, that why did you bring us into the wilderness to die? In Egypt, we would have had a good life there, and we would have been able to live. But here we will die. And so this is the way man is sometimes. But a conclusion of this thought is that we as people, we want to always try to do our best in whatever matter it is, and God will bless. And this we can trust and believe, even as we quiet around this text, that we see the almighty wisdom of God, which goes higher than all the understanding of man. As children of God, when we pause and think of this, it gives us a very secure feeling and thoughts that we are in good hands when we are under the guidance of God's powerful hands. And then at the end of this text, this thought comes out in a very concrete thoughts that what does God's word here on earth do and what it is duty. The prophet writes, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So it's a very concrete thought. But then it is compared, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." As we pause and think of this as children of God, that what is this word of God? What has it meant to us? What does it mean for us? We can say that the word of God, the power of the gospel, means perfection to us. Without this word of God, without this power of the gospel, not one person would be preserved in faith. Without the gospel word and without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, none of us would be preserved in faith. The significance of God's word is all in all for us. In another way, we could think, if this gospel, this word of the gospel, this word of God would not be, we would not have this God-given gift of faith and a hope of heaven. There would not be this thought and these eyes of faith that towards which we are endeavoring. But when we have the power of God, which is contained in this joyous message of God's word, this forgiveness of sins, this joyous message of the gospel, by the power of it, which is the power of God, it has protected us, and it is protecting us in such a way that we can be strengthened and refreshed in this faith. And above all, by this help of the gospel, of power of the gospel, we will be protected in faith until the end of our life. Then the letter to the Hebrews, as he writes of this, of how life, the word of God makes living, and of its power. And the best concrete example of this power of God is just this, that you, dear brother and sister, feel that you are believing, that you experience that you have received this gift of God, this living gift of living faith, that through this joyous message of God's word, of the forgiveness of sins, you can every day, daily and momentarily, believe your own sins forgiven. And it is preached to you, forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And it means this, that this love of God are contained in this word, in these words, that a sinful person on their own behalf could nevertheless believe. But somehow it has come to mind, and it also in Hebrews is this image, picture of this, of the mercy seat, and how to this mercy seat is this joyous message that, son and daughter, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And the apostle has pictured this, how we can approach this mercy seat always when we are in need of help, and that we can receive this help at the right and correct time. And so this is what it is, the significance of God's kingdom, where the king of this kingdom which is under this guidance, a powerful guidance of God, and contains this joyous message of the forgiveness of sins. In this kingdom, we, dear children of God, dear brothers and sisters, can live. Isn't it a secure thought and outlook for the future, before our eye, through our eyes of faith, that when this endeavor of faith ends, and we pray that we will, as victors, reach the destination. For this reason, the significance of God to man, it is the most important matter in life to possess this gift of faith. And for this reason, at this moment, this joyous message of the gospel is present and to be believed. Dear brothers and sisters, dear, here in this gym and also in the hallways and also there where you are listening in your with your devices, you can believe all your sins and doubts and temptations forgiven in Jesus' name, in atonement, blood, and you can trust this, that the Heavenly Father, that His powerful arm will protect us from all evil. And so it is secure to believe for us. And also for myself, I would like to ask, can I believe my own sins forgiven? And it is my desire of my heart to believe with you. And so we remain in the grace, care, and protection of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen.